Vrindavan, my Mamrita, my Prabhupada Saraswati. We're reading some new section now. Braj Bhajan means Raghunuga Bhakti. To live in Vrindavan and perform bhajan, one will choose to reside in Vrindavan because it's so much anukulya for Raghunuga Bhakti. When Rupa Goswami describes a nectar of devotion of five limbs of bhakti, most important, powerful, prema-producing limbs of the 64 limbs, he says that Bhagavat Shravan, to hear the Bhagavatam and the association of devotees, is very powerful, purifying and elevating and prompt way to attain Krishna prema. Jiva Goswami gives a commentary and he says that Rupa Goswami, he's asked me to give commentary, so his intention here is, although he's exalting the entire Bhagavatam, he actually, in between the lines, he's saying that specifically the most powerful form of bhakti in terms of hearing the Bhagavatam is to hear the 10th canto of pastimes of Krishna, especially in Vrindavan, Braja Lila. So when one focuses on the 10th canto in Braja Lila, that is, of course, the limb of Raghunuga Bhakti. And in a similar way, there are various holy dhams. It says that one should live in Mathura Mandala Stite. One should live in Mathura Mandala. So living in Mathura Mandala is good for all kinds of bhakti. Mathura Mandala is a very vast area, which includes Mathura, Vrindavan, Dwarasavan, Trasi Kosh, the whole Vrindavan, greater Vrindavan. But living in Vrindavan specifically means, in terms of not just, because someone might say, well, Mathura Mandala, I'll go to Mathura and do bhakti. And you can. And it's very powerful. But specifically, the followers of Raghunuga Bhakti will want to live in Vrindavan, in the forest of Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan forest, the specific forest of Vrindavan, includes Yamuna, Govardhan, Nandagram, Varsana, Suryakund, Radhakund, Shamakund, Sevakund, Nidiban, Vamshivad, Rasastali, and all these key places which are anukulya for Raghunuga Bhakti. And it's the first entry here we have that the sweetness of Braj is beyond the Upanishads and beyond the followers of Vaidhi Bhakti. This is chapter 1, verse 22. Chirad Upanishad Giram Mati Vicharya Tatparyakam Nalabdam Iha Shakyate Yamanu Madurim Apyaho Tamapyanu Bhavin Maharasanidim Yad Avastatas Tadeva Paramam Mama Spruce Ratu Dhamma Vrindavanam. Alas! Even after considering the purport of the statements of the Upanishads for a long time, one cannot obtain a tinge of transcendental sweetness. Yet simply by residing in Sri Vrindavan, one can relish the ocean of that transcendental sweetness. May that Vrindavan become manifest to us. I think it's supposed to be Spuratu Dham. Mama Spuritam. So this is saying that the sweetness of Braj is beyond the Upanishads. Beyond the Upanishads. Because someone may study the Shastras for a long time and still they won't be able to understand. Even if you read about Vrindavan, it's very difficult to perceive the sweetness of Vrindavan. Because living in Vrindavan, that's why it's so much encouraged that one should physically live in Vrindavan by Rupa Goswami, and emphasized also by Sri Jiva Goswami. Why? Bhakti is bhakti, it's transcendental. But he's saying that living in Vrindavan, one gets 1,000 times the benefit for his activities. So all of his devotional practices, if he has with the aim in mind, bhav, he wants to attain bhav, the purpose of sadhana is to attain prema. And we perform our actions in sadhana to quickly come to bhava, and which will deepen and become manifest as prema. So living in Vrindavan and practicing rag bhakti with a desire to attain Krishna prema and a focused practice, then that sweetness of Vrindavan will accelerate and enhance his success. So that he may not even study the Upanishads, he's saying here, he may simply by residing here, maybe he doesn't study the Upanishads and other Shastras, but he lives here and he practices, he performs bhakti, then that powerful Vrindavan will enter his heart and transform him and give him the taste of that sweetness that could never be available in all the Vedic studies that one may perform for hundreds of years outside of Vrindavan. He's trying to emphasize how powerful is this Vrindavan. There's some unique power here. In different places, it's said that whatever one does here, he gets 100 times the benefit or 1,000 times the benefit. So the benefit, when we have to establish what do we want, what is the benefit we want? The benefit we want is love of God, Radha Krishna Prema. And this is a place where that's available. Everyone comes here for that. To get Krishna Prema. There's a verse by Uddhava, Mahashaya, and he describes something about the power of living in Vrindavan. And we can read that verse. And he mentions something here about how it's beyond the Vedas also. It's from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Asam maho charana renu jusham mahamsyam Vrindavanekim api gomalat lato shadinam yadustyajam swajanam aryapatam chahitwa bejur mukunda padavim shutibir vimrigyam. So he's saying here that the gopis, asam maho, the Braja gopis have given up everything that is difficult to renounce, such as children, family, and the path of chastity. They have taken shelter of the path of prema bhakti to Sri Krishna that is searched for but rarely attained by the Shrutis. My prayer is that I may appear as a bush, a creeper, or a blade of grass in Sri Vrindavan and thus receive the foot dust of these gopis' lotus feet. Shrutibir vimrigyam, he's quoting. They're searching, the Shrutis personified, the Upanishads, the Shrutis, the Smritis. The Shrutis and the Upanishads, as Vrindavan Das Thakur, they're searching, but they can't find that prema bhakti, that raja prema bhakti of Krishna, that the simple gopis attain by residing in Vrindavan and serving the Lord and loving the Lord. This is the power of Vrindavan, that sweetness, that intimacy is available by living here. Another verse, we can see a different translation also. If one studies the Upanishads for a long time, he will not obtain even an atomic particle of transcendental sweetness as a result of his study. On the other hand, simply by residing in Vrindavan, one will quickly be drowned in a great ocean of transcendental nectar. May that supreme abode of Sri Vrindavan become manifest within my heart. They study Upanishads for a long time. And at the conclusion of that long term of study, you feel dry. Because that study is near rasa. It's devoid of rasa. But Vrindavan is rasadam. His rasa is flowing in Vrindavan. You can study and study. So many shrutis, so many great sages, rishis have studied the Upanishads inside and out and try to understand them. And then their lives are dry, or even they give up that study after some time. But someone who lives in Vrindavan and practices Rag Bhakti, serving the Lord on this path of Bhakti Marg, in whatever simple way, he experiences a type of sweetness which will enter his heart and mind and never leave. And he knows that it, the longer he stays here and the deeper he performs his bhajan, the sweeter and sweeter that experience will become that's in Vrindavan. So he's emphasizing that. Vrindavan, just live here and the mercy will flow. This is chapter 12:33. Sweetness in Vrindavan is beyond the Upanishads. 12:33. Primodhara guner ananya kalitam bandikritam sundaram shamam swapara panjare niyamitam chitre swayam radaya. Protungopanishad rasala varashaka stamprer durgraham vande nandita tatsaki samudayan divyaika pumskokilam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the dark-complexioned, beautiful, transcendental male cuckoo who is not bound by the ropes of anyone, and who is certainly bound by the ropes of Sri Radha's extraordinary love, who lives on the branches of the tall, beautiful trees in the form of the Upanishads, and who is unattainable by other people, yet who gives pleasure to the gopi friends of Sri Radha. So here, of course, he's using analogy to compare Krishna to a cuckoo. And we can see another translation. I offer my respectful obeisances to the splendid dark parrot that stays on the unreachable top branches of the tall mango tree of the Upanishads, that pleases the gopis, and that with the wonderful ropes of intense love, Radha binds that cuckoo and forces that cuckoo to bow down and pushes that cuckoo into the cage of her feet. That's quite a better translation, I should say. And quite accurate also. So we can consider this one. When you see a tree, a very tall tree, they may have fruits on the tree, but they may be way beyond the reach. You can't reach them with a ladder, and you can't climb up there because the branch, the tree itself, the main trunk is very thin, and the other branches are very thin. And if you try to climb up there, it'll crack. The tree will crack. Or if you go out on the limb, on the branch to try to get a fruit, then you'll break, that branch will break off and you'll crash on the ground. So this fruit of Krishna Prema is so high in the Upanishads, they can't reach it. Those who study the Upanishads, they can't reach it. So he's saying that here. He's saying that dark parrot, Krishna, you can study the Upanishads for eternity, but you'll just be on the lower branches somewhere, no matter how much you study. You'll never reach the higher branches, those very thin and delicate branches. Because that parrot is beyond your reach. You can't catch him. You can't throw a rope around him. Sometimes they capture birds with nets, nets made of ropes. They put the net on the ground, and then the bird walks on the ground occasionally to eat something or drink something, and they pull the net and catch him in the net. This bird, this dark bird, you can't catch. He's uncatchable. So Krishna here is being compared to a dark cuckoo. And he's on the highest unreachable branches, unattainable branches of the Upanishads. In other words, the author is saying, forget it. Forget the Upanishads. We have the Gita Upanishad. They say Gita Upanishad. The Gita is the essence of all the philosophical teachings of the Upanishads. Gita Upanishad is considered that way, although it's not technically one of the original Upanishads. It's called Gita Upanishad. But Radharani, she's so expert that, and also the gopis, that Radharani's love is so intense that she went far beyond the Shruti Bir Mimrigyam. The gopis, their love is so inconceivable. Because who's speaking that verse we heard before from the Bhagavatam? That's Uddhava. He was speaking that. He says, Shruti Bir Mukundam, Mukunda Bhajan. The gopis have come to Vrindavan and they're engaging in Mukunda Bhajan for the purpose of developing Bhav and Krishna Prema. I'd say the sadhana siddha gopis. And they are trying to attain something which is unreachable by the Shrutis, Smriti, Mimrigyam. Smritis and Shrutis I can't reach. And I know the Shrutis. I know the Upanishads. I am a great learned pundit, Uddhava Mahashaya. And I couldn't figure out or understand Krishna. But when I came to Vrindavan and I saw the sweetness of the Brijvasis, and I interacted with this sweet Dhamma Vrindavan, then I understood there's something extraordinary here. And the concentrated and most condensed and richest form of sweetness I saw embodied in Srimati Radharani when she displayed her Mahabhav and Uddhava Kyari when I met the gopis to convey Krishna's message. And then I understood that all my studies of Upanishads were worthless and that I should simply pray for the mercy of the gopis, that they bless me, that I can someday, somehow, somewhere, take birth in Vrindavan, Gomalata Oshadinam, as a small little berry bush or a creeper wrapped around a tree or some small shrub growing in the ground of Vrindavan. This will be my greatest perfection. And by that mercy of the gopis, dust to their feet, Charna Reno Jasham, I may be able to engage some future life after that in Mukunda Bhajan, Bejur Mukundam, Mukunda Bhajan. So this is the sweetness that's available in Vrindavan, Mukunda Bhajan. And that's the type of bhajan the gopis are doing. And Radharani's love is so intense that forget about climbing up the tree of the Upanishads and attaining that unreachable fruit in the top branches. Forget about trying to capture that cuckoo bird, that black cuckoo bird is perched on the upper branches of the Upanishads. It's impossible. But Radharani, she didn't even have to climb. She didn't even climb the tree of the Upanishads. She didn't even shake it. Some people, they can't climb a tree to get the fruit, so they shake it. They shake the tree, and the flowers fall off. You try to climb a tree to get the flowers, and the branches will break, especially a champak tree. Champak tree or Parijat tree, very fine, thin branches. You try to climb the branches, you can't do that. You can't get the flowers and fruits, so you shake the tree. And all the fruits go, ton, 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 ton. We see that in Krishna's pastimes. That they would go out, the boys would go out and play together. And then they would see some tree that would have so many fruits. And then Krishna would sit under that tree. Then the tree would understand that Krishna, Yogamaya would understand that Krishna was hungry, wanted to eat some of those mangoes. And then Yogamaya would arrange those branches of the tree being fully conscious devotees. They would hire very high, high, tall branches. They would bend all the way down with their heavily laden fruits and just appear right in front of Krishna's face. He would just reach out his hand and he would take off the mango and eat it. And then Madhavamangala would say, oh, those mangoes look so good. And then Krishna would let go of the branch and the branch would go up again. And then Madhavamangala couldn't get any mangoes. And Madhavamangala would say, Krishna, Krishna, I want some mangoes. And And then Krishna told Madhu, he said, just ask the mango to come to you. I simply thought of the mango and it came to me. So Madhu sat there thinking. He said, nothing's happening. And Balaram and the boys were laughing. So then Balaram came over and he wrapped his arms around that mango tree and he gave it a shake. And hundreds of mangoes popped down and landed on the ground. And some of them fell on the head of Madhumangal also. And then the boy, and he made a funny face and complained. And complained against Balaram, who gave him all those wonderful fruits which he desired. And all the boys laughed heartily at the incident. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai. So Radharani, without even climbing the tree or even shaking it like Balaram, she was able to call that black parrot, that black cuckoo, from way up in the unreachable branches, call him down, say, hey, cuckoo, hey, quail, ow, come here. So that quail came all the way down from the tapi-tapi branches to the ground and bowed down. And then Radharani tied up that bird. When the bird is on the ground, they catch with a rope or catch with... Sometimes they have a rope and they have a little knot in the end, a little special knot. And the bird is walking, they pull it and they catch him by the foot with the rope. And then they pull him closer. So Radharani has caught Krishna by the head. And now he's forced, he bowed down at her feet. And then when that bird fell at her feet, then Radharani pushed that bird's head into the golden cage of her lotus feet. And this is how Radharani binds Krishna with her love. So the only way to bind that parrot is not by Upanishadic studies, is not by studying Shrutis or Smritis. The only way to bind that parrot is with the purity, pure love, Braja Prem, Gopika Prem, Radha Prem. That can happen in Vrindavan. One can come to Vrindavan and serve Radharani and worship Radharani, and by her mercy, as Prabhupada said, one place he said, devotees in Vrindavan, they take shelter of Radharani. Because by taking shelter of Radharani, one can attain Krishna very soon. Grunamayi Radha. Of course, without the mercy of Nityananda and Gauranga, the shelter of Vrindavan and Radha and Krishna is impossible. But the surrendered Gaudiya Vaishnavas, coming in the line of Lord Chaitanya, they are heirs to the wealth. They inherit the wealth of Nityananda's mercy. And with that wealth of Nityananda's kripa and mercy, then they can worship Radharani and Vrindavan. Along with Krishna, obviously. Chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Worship Giri Govardhan and Gauranitai. And someday the mercy of Radharani will descend upon all of them. And then they will see that black cuckoo standing before them with a peacock feather in his hair. Very unusual. Cuckoo. Cuckoo with a peacock feather in his hair. It's kind of a hybrid cuckoo peacock. So let's see about some other verses here. This is 12:58. 10:47:61. 10th canto of Brahmar Gita. 47 is Brahmar Gita, Song of the Bumblebee. Radharani's Udgorna and Chitrajalpa, Chitrajalpa and Udgorna, Ecstasies of Mahabhav. This verse is there. Bejur Mukunda Padavim. Shuti bir vimrigyam. Prabhupada also quotes it in his verse book, 10:47:61. Very powerful and important verse to understand position of Vrindavan and the high position of the Braja Gopis, especially Radharani. This is 12:58. Mahanandas yaisha paratara chamatkara paravi mahapriter atyudbhuta sananer esha sukamayi mahodarsh dar yaish varayayadika parama Nishto Panishadam Mahaguptam Vitam Yad Udayati Vrindavanam Idam. This is more about the Upanishads. The abode of Vrindavan is a supremely wonderful platform of great ecstasy. Vrindavan is the most joyful path for achieving love of God. Vrindavan is the ultimate limit of all generosity, magnanimity, and opulences. And Vrindavan is the secret wealth of all the Upanishads. The secret wealth. Mahaguptam Vitam. Vitam means wealth. The greatest secret wealth is Udayati, rising in Vrindavan. See another translation. 1258. Vrindavan is the wonderful path that leads to intense transcendental bliss. Vrindavan is the wonderful and blissful path that leads to deep transcendental love. Vrindavan is the highest point of opulence and generosity. Vrindavan is the secret treasure hidden in the Upanishads. So, you may search for a treasure very diligently and spend lots of time and not find it. Because it's buried. It's a buried treasure. Your father has 1,000 acres of property. And when he died, he said, I just tell you one thing, my son. I buried my treasure, all my gold and jewels, in some place in my property. And then he dies. And the son knows he's very wealthy, and there's truth, obviously, in his words. Now he has the task to figure out, where is that treasure buried? There's 1,000 acres in my father's estate. So then he starts looking and going, digging here and there and here and there and everywhere. Will he ever find the treasure before he dies? Or will he die in the pursuit of that treasure? So the analogy here is like the Upanishads. The Upanishads are like 1,000 acres of land. And Vrindavan is that rare treasure box. You may, for example, someone may study Isopanishad. We've heard of Isopanishad. But Mayavadis also study the Upanishads. So many Mayavadis. And directly you won't see, if you read the verses of Isopanishad, you won't see, this is an Upanishad, you're not going to see anywhere where it directly shows the treasure of Vrindavan. We know Om Purnamidam Purnamidam. These verses are familiar to all of us. And we can read some of those verses from the Isopanishad. Prabhupada often speak on Isopanishad, and it was one of the first early books that he published. We can read some verses. Let's see if we can find, does it tell us that Vrindavan is the conclusion of the Upanishads? Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. The personality of God, it is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal material world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is a complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains a complete balance. Well, I don't find Vrindavan very clearly mentioned there. The sweet treasure of Vrindavan does not come out of this verse very easily. Ishavasyamidam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjita madgridha kasya svidanam. Everything animate or inanimate within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota. And one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. We can see Radhakund there, or maybe Govardhan. Vamshivat? I don't think so. Mantra 2. Kurva neveha karmani jijivikshak chatam sama evam twayi nanyate tosti na karma lipyate nare. This is verse, the second shloka from Isha Upanishad. I read the invocation, the Mangala Charana, the verse 1. This is verse 2. One may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on working in that way, for that sort of karma will not bind him to the law of karma. There is no alternative to this way for man. Asurya namate loka andena tamasavrita tamste pretyabi gachchanti ye ke chatma hano jana. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. And I'll read some other verses and say the English. The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he's very near to all. He is within everything and he's outside of everything. He's swifter than the mind and can run faster than everyone else. Powerful demigods cannot approach him. Although he's situated in one place, he controls everything, including the rain. One who sees all living entities as parts and parcels of the Lord and sees the Lord within everything never hates anything or any being. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaivabhud vijanato. Tatrako moha kashoka ekatvam anupashyata. In quality, one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? I don't find so much here about Vrindavan. It seems about this world and karma and seeing God here and let this temporary body be burnt to ashes. Let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Oh, my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices. And because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. These are some of the later verses. Well, let's read the last verse of Isha Upanishad and see if we can find Radhakund there or Vrindavan. Agne naya supata raye asman vishvani deva payunani vidvan yudyod yasmaj juhuranam enau buyishtam te nama uktam videma. O my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. O my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all that I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins, so there will be no hindrance to my progress. So this is the Isha Upanishad, and we don't find so much indication here about Vrindavan. And let's look at some of the other Upanishads, since that's what the premise is, that one can go through all the Upanishads and not find the secret treasure that's available in the land of Vrindavan. There's so many Upanishads. We read the secret wealth of all the Upanishads. It's such a secret. This is actually the wealth, is Vrindavan. Aitreya Upanishad. He glanced over the material creation. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. I am spirit. Aham Brahmasmi. Chandogya Upanishad. Sarvam Kavidam Brahma. Everything, both matter and spirit, is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Brahman. Another Chandogya Upanishad. Tadakshata Bahusyam. Eko Prabhupada oftentimes he quotes this, Eko Bahusham. From one came many. And now Kaliya Santarana Upanishad. Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan Atmasya Jantur Nihito Guhayam. Both the super soul and the atomic soul are situated in the same heart, the living entity. And how about the Katha Upanishad? Nayamatma Pravajanena Labhyo Namedaya Na Bahuna Shutena Yameva Shabrinute Tena Labhyas Tasyaish Atma Vivrinte Tanam Swam. The Supreme Lord is not attained by expert explanations, by vast intelligence, or even by much hearing. He is attained only by one who he himself chooses. To such a person he manifests his own form. Then the Mundaka Upanishad. Yasmin vigyate saram evam vigatam bhavati. If one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of all controllers, one can understand everything else. In other words, if you know God, if you know Krishna, you know everything. He's Swayam Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know everything that's possible to be known. So we can hear from this smattering of Upanishadic quotes, we don't find too much about Vrindavan. I think the closest thing what we can find here in the quotes before us is from Taittiriya Upanishad. This was an Upanishad spoken by some birds. Taittiriya. Taittiriya is a type of bird. The Tidiba bird. It's like, I think, sparrows. Type of sparrow. Taittiriya Upanishad. Some birds spoke this. Maybe they were from Vrindavan in previous life. Can't say. What did they say? Rasovai Saha. Raso Vaisaha. So the argument here, Prabhupada Saraswati is saying in this verse 12:58 is the abode of Vrindavan is the most joyful path for achieving love of God. Vrindavan is the ultimate livant of all opulences and generosity and the secret wealth of all the Upanishads. As I mentioned, you can search the 1,000 acres of the Upanishads to try to find that buried treasure box, and you may not find it. But Taittiriya Upanishad, this verse, Rasa Vaisaha, gives us some flavor of Vrindavan, Rasaraj Sri Krishna. He is Ras, and this is Rasadam, Raslila. Vrindavan is that, when in Rasa Vaisaha means that Rasaraj Sri Krishna. Well, Rasaraj, where is he relishing that Ras? Oh, he's Rasaraj. He so much relishes Ras. Well, where? And Rasadam, where is Rasadam? Vrindavan. Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. And where in Vrindavan does he relish the greatest mixture of sweet rasas? In the Rasa Mandala and Raslila. And where does he relish the sweetest of the expressions of Parakya, Madhurya Bhav with the gopis? That's in Radha Kund. Let's read another verse, 12:59, not far away. This book is 1,000 different ways to say Vrindavan's great. There's so many verses, I don't remember exactly how many. I think there's 2,000 or so, can't remember. And they're all about the same point. They're all about one thing, Vrindavan. The nectar and glories of Vrindavan. 12:59. This point under discussion is the Shastras, the sweetness of Braj is beyond the Upanishads and Vaidhi Bhakti. Because the followers of Vaidhi Bhakti in general, the Vishnu Bhaktas and Ram Bhaktas, they very much study Upanishads and other literatures. But let's just say the Upanishads, Vrindavan is the ultimate secret of the Upanishads. Ye sam swadhya shrutigam amritasyandi vrindavane ti prema vishta param ati raso danchi romancha punja. Murchamapur Niravadi Mahananda Sandradi Linas. Te ta kim vayamaiha hata nama bhavaika sangha. Those exalted devotees who had become completely absorbed in ecstatic love while relishing the topmost nectar that is aspired for by the personified Vedas in the sweet land of Vrindavan. Those advanced devotees display symptoms of ecstatic love, such as hair standing on end. And those devotees, they lose consciousness due to emerging in a deep ocean of transcendental bliss. But they have all left now, and I cannot find them here in Vrindavan. Alas, are we not unfortunate to live here now? Because when Prabhupada, this is a entry from his heart, his heart's diary, because he was writing this book as he lived in Vrindavan 400 and some years ago. And at the time when Prabhupada Saraswati came to Vrindavan, all the great devotees had already entered the Nitya Lila. So he's feeling their separation. Jayanila Prima Dana. Harinamasa. How's it go? Jayanila Prima Dana. Karuna Prachur. Jayanila Prima Dana Karuna Prachur. There's that wealth of love that's embodied in all those great devotees. Where are they now? I can only smash my head. I can't live without them. I don't want to think about their absence. I'd rather smash my head on a rock than bear the intolerable pain of their separation. This prayer is there, lamenting for where is my Kaviraj Goswami gone? Where is my Rupa Goswami gone? Where is my Sanatana Goswami gone? Where is my Jiva Goswami gone? This Narottam is lamenting. The vilap, Vaishnava vilap, in separation from the great liberated Premi Bhaktas of Vrindavan. Well, similarly, we modern day residents of Vrindavan, we have also met many great devotees over the past 25 years that were residents of Vrindavan and sometimes would bless us with their darshan or shiksha, but they are not here anymore. So how much unfortunate we feel to live here now. That's what he's saying. Of course, it's fortune, a great fortune to live in Vrindavan and serve Guru and Krishna and Vaishnavas. But that fortune is enhanced and relished in a much more profound and intimate and sweet way in the association of Siddha Mahatmas and advanced devotees. So when they leave one's vision and one can no longer hear their precious instructions flowing in on the pathway of their ears, then they lament and sorrow and separation. So this is the mood of this verse, 1259. Have the great souls whose ears drank the nectar flowing in Vrindavan, have those great souls who were immersed in pure love, have those great souls whose bodily hair stood up, and have those great souls who would sometimes faint in ecstasy and who were plunged in the boundless ocean of intense transcendental bliss. Have all these great souls left us? Now we are dead and can associate only with their names.